This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for staying with us on the morning run. It is 7:18 in the morning. In the meantime, let's talk about road safety.
This weekend, we will see the start of the Hari Raya exodus from the Klang Valley as Malaysians of all stripes travel to their hometowns for the festive season after 2 years of pandemic restrictions. Transport authorities are estimating that 2 million motorists will ply the North-South Highway daily beginning April 30th. There is likely to be especially heavy traffic over the next 2 weekends as the government announced toll-free travel during these periods.
Now, the downside to the heavy volume of traffic is likely the higher chance of road accidents, and tempers may also be frayed over long waiting times in congested stretches of the highway. So what's a checklist for motorists embarking on these balik kampung journeys to ensure safe travels for all on board as well as other road users?
So to answer these questions, we now turn to Dr. Kulantai and Casey Mani, the professor at University Putra Malaysia or UPM, and also the chair of the board of directors at the Global Alliance of NGOs for Road Safety. Dr. Kula, talk to us about the patterns that have emerged in road accident data throughout the pandemic. Are we unfortunately seeing a return to pre-pandemic numbers in terms of road fatalities?
Yeah, if you look at the road crash numbers, the last year what we have recorded is 370,286 road crash. It means every 86 seconds we have one reported road crash in the country, and this resulted in about 4,539 deaths last year, which is every 2 hours, one death. Of course, these numbers are slightly lower during pandemic time compared to pre-pandemic. But what we are expecting is there will be a rise in the post-pandemic phase now, but hopefully we don't reach back to the original position of the pre-pandemic, because there are some new norms which has came into some of us where we have reduced our travels for some of the type of activities, where we replace it with online transactions and those things. And hopefully with that, during the post-pandemic stage, we hope to see the burden of traffic problem will be slightly lower compared to pre-pandemic phase.
Okay, Dr. Kula, but the issue is, what is the main cause of these road accidents? Are we Malaysians just bad drivers? Did we learn driving badly? Are our roads unsafe? What is the issue here?
Yeah, if you look, there are many causes for crashes, okay, and the main cause for crash, no matter whether it's Malaysia or in any countries, the first issue is speeding. If we can reduce the speed of our vehicle, that is the biggest achievement in terms of managing traffic crashes. The reason is very simple. The moment the speed of the vehicle goes down, then we are able to manage the vehicle much better, and we can prevent a crash from happening. That's one. Second, in the event if a crash still happens at a lower speed, then the impact is much, much more lower. Therefore, we can prevent road death and road injuries in that situation.
So how then do we reduce speed on the road? I mean, are you looking at, let's say, the highways which have a limit of 110 kilometers per hour? Does that mean reducing that, or are you talking about people who just also speed illegally? What's the best way to prevent all that?
Yeah, the best is if we can, the best is for us to comply with whatever posted speed limit of the particular roadway that we are using.
That's true, Dr. Kula, but you know, people just ignore the speed limits, right? We see them on the road all the time.
Yeah, but as long as they know, if they speed, what is the consequences? Let me just give you an idea. If there is a crash happening at 90 kilometers per hour, it is equivalent to falling down from 10th floor. So just imagine, what is the probability of survival if you fall down from 10th floor? So that is equivalent to 90 kilometers per hour. And if it's like 70 kilometers per hour crash, it's like falling down from the 6th floor. So that is the issue of the impact in terms of speeding. The second issue why we are saying is if you can reduce speed is good is, say, for example, if I'm driving at 50 kilometers per hour and there is an emergency situation in front of me, and when I press my brake, I only need about 27 meters to get my vehicle stopped. But if I drive at, say, 80 kilometers per hour, then I need about 58 meters to get my vehicle stopped. So in that gap, if there is another vehicle in front of me or a pedestrian in front of me, then very difficult for me to prevent a crash from happening.
Yeah, Dr. Kula, then is there this, you know, Malaysians, we're not exactly well known for being self-regulating. So I'm wondering whether the solution here is to have more speed cameras with automatic fines when people break the speed limits. Is that because you can tell them that the consequences of driving a fast car is XYZ, but whether that lesson is learned?
Yeah, if you look at those countries who are doing pretty well in terms of road safety, most of them have invested in terms of electronic enforcement. So that should be the way forward in terms of electronic enforcement. But at the same time, I would also kindly request with every one of us to have self-enforcement as well, because we are going to benefit the most due to the safe behavior that we are going to put into practice. This self-enforcement, family enforcement should come in. In fact, community enforcement or, in fact, employer enforcement should also come in. Then only the last phase where it should be the enforcement coming into play.
So you talk about enforcement. What's the most pressing policy gap at present that you think the government should address to enhance the road safety of Malaysians?
Yep, I see in terms of three angles. Well, one is we should be moving towards public transport. That means more investment should be on public transport. That should be the policy forward. And in terms of public transport, I would prefer more of rail-based public transport because that is much more safer. That's one. Second is knowing that Malaysian fleet, in terms of the type of vehicle fleet, 50% do belong to motorcycle. In that case, we should be providing more motorcycle lanes for them in order to make sure that their travel are safe. And the third policy I would be looking forward is for the electronic enforcement to come into place so that the probability of being detected, being stopped and being fined should be high for every traffic violations that we do.
So, Dr. Kula, I have another question when you brought up the issue of fines. And over the years, right, we have had the police offer discounts on fines during certain periods. Are you in agreement with that? Because fines are a form of deterrent, aren't they? And do these discounts then give people the mindset that it doesn't really matter what I do on the roads because I can get a discount later?
Yeah, you have a point over there. I prefer on the discounts, unless the discounts is being given for those who pay early.
Okay, but you don't believe in a general discount, like waiver sometimes, which happens?
No, you're right.
Okay, and one more question, Dr. Kula, with regards to enforcement. And you brought up something which a lot of us don't normally notice, and that is company enforcement. Okay, so we've got the individual, we've got family enforcement, and then now we've got company enforcement. Here we are talking about all those riders or those commercial car rider, truck drivers. What kind of rules can we have? Can it be better? Can we find a way to fine the companies so that their drivers are actually following the rules?
Okay, when I was touching in terms of the employer's enforcement, that is not only for commercial companies. It's for all companies in order to make sure that their workers are safe at all times. Because sometimes some of the workers, they feel more worried of the consequences of violating any traffic rules from the action to be taken by their company compared to the state's rules. Let me give you an example. There are some companies which have strict policy that you shouldn't be driving using a mobile phone, okay? And if you're being caught, then there is a consequences in terms of your employment. So this is what makes more worry for those employees compared to the state's rule. So if every employer, okay, puts in a high priority for safety, because they also benefit, because if the employees are not involved in a crash, then the absenteeism are low, and then the productions are moving on as norm, and in fact compensation payments are also low. So it's a more win-win situation to protect your own employees. Employer gains, employee also gain, and the state also gains along that process.
Yes, that was Professor Dr. Kualantayan Casey Mani of the Global Alliance of NGOs for Road Safety, and we're on the cusp of a five-day-long holiday weekend. Now, one of the, I guess, elephants in the room in terms of this discussion is the fact that there is a direct and clear correlation between driver complacency and lack of enforcement. In jurisdictions like Australia and the UK, you never see even anybody changing lanes without so much as a huge cautionary change of signal lights, and everybody is very, very cautious in the
signal,
UK.
Signal, apa tu?
Yeah, exactly, right?
unfortunately, also bad. I would
no
like
such
to.
Thing.
Okay, the other thing is also drivers and I signal. Is that I notice when you signal, drivers then not give way. They accelerate. They don't want to give way to you. Yeah, yeah. So it's a both way thing, right?
No, but other than just signaling, maybe before you signal, also look left, right, you know, look front left, front back as well, and make sure that there isn't not a lot of cars that's really in close distance to you.
Enforcement. Lack of enforcement.
That's also true. But drivers themselves, they need to be more vigilant, you know, have like, you know, just look around before even signaling. I mean, otherwise, then you kind of scare people who's next to you.
You try
to
drive in Australia, right? In Australia, in the city centre, within the conurbation of a city, right? Every 200 metres, there is a police presence. These two big burly guys with truncheons and walkie-talkies and flak jackets and helmets on, they are looking at you in your eye. Nobody bats an eyelid when they're driving in Australia.
Well, look at Singapore. Even without, there's probably not a lot of police enforcement
because
standing over
fear,
there.
There's a reason why Singapore is known as the fine city, right? We tried to introduce the automatic enforcement system, the AES, a few years ago. That was installed, and then later we found out that the Public Accounts Committee said that it was overpaid for by some 300 million ringgit. LTAT bought the entire system. I mean, it's not necessarily we don't try and introduce digital solutions. It's the fact that Malaysia has got these hidden hands at play.
I think it's just basically enforcement, right? So the laws exist. How often should these laws be enforced is a question mark. You know, when it comes to speeding, if you get a ticket, should you get a discount? No, my answer is no, because it just encourages people to think they can get away with it, right? It's a mindset thing that we need to change to improve the overall safety on the roads. But for those who are traveling, bear this in mind, please.
Yeah, and be aware that there's going to be a lot of cars on the road. The weather's going to be torrential, rain possibly. So watch out because there's a lot of issues out there. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.